Thank you so much. Thank you very much, April, for that reading. And again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start at the top of the page with that verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and it reads, "Love is patient, love is kind, and does not envy, and does not boast. It is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. The first thing that I had underlined was in that verse was love is kind. And it made me think about the nature of kindness. All people understand kindness. I don't care where they're from or what nationality or, you know, all genders, you know, the gender, men and women, they all, they both understand kindness. And it made, you know, I was thinking about how kindness is a lot like smiling, and how usually if I am attempting to be kind, that I do smile. I was saying this morning is that smiling is different from laughter, because laughter can be misconstrued sometimes as being laughter at a person, you know, and so laughter can have a double meaning, where smiling usually does not have that. People see friendliness and kindness in a smile, and so I realized that the Lord calls me to do that. He calls me to keep a good and pleasant countenance. I know sometimes I have to watch that. I can be thinking so deeply that my whole demeanor changes. My mouth gets downturned, and I look very sad. And I have to remember that I have been called to be an ambassador of Jesus. I am His witness wherever I go. As lots of people say that sometimes I'm the only Bible that many people will read, and so I pray to be a good witness for Him. And when I think kindness, when I think of being kind and giving to another person, that is such a good place to start for me. The next thing I had underlined in this verse was the word envy. It says not envy. It does not envy. And I realize that when I get envious of another, I'm believing the lie that God has blessed other people, but He's not going to bless me. And so I get envious of what I see other people obtain. And what I have to remember is that God is the giver of all good gifts. And no one corners the market on getting good gifts from the Lord. He is an equal opportunity giver. And so He will certainly give me the gift that He has in mind to give to me. And so it takes my faith to keep remembering that and to keep waiting for my gift to come and not to envy when someone else gets theirs. The next thing, the verse on the court my eyes says, it does not envy, it does not boast, and then it says, it is not proud. And the Bible, when you read it, you notice that the Bible speaks a lot about pride and how God hates pride. And I was thinking about how pride manifests itself in me personally. One of the ways that I can really know that I'm being prideful is when I try to do it all myself without asking for help. I think what I try to do when I do that is so that I can take all the glory. But of course, I usually end up driving myself crazy when I try to take on more than what I was meant to take on. God may give me the idea, but he certainly wants me to involve others so that they may also partake in the blessing of being able to do whatever it is that I have set out in my mind to do. Another way that I know that I show pride is when I don't admit to my mistakes and when I don't admit to things that I'm struggling with. It is a very wise thing, though, not to, as they say, put your pearls before swine. And so I know that there are groups of people, though, that it's very important that I do share my struggles with because they will pray for me. In fact, that's what I try to remember, is to ask the Lord to find me people who are prayerful and who also study the Word so that I can share honestly with them about my struggles. When I don't want to talk about my struggles, a lot of times it's because, not because of fear as much as it is about pride. You know, I don't want people to think badly of me. I don't want them to be looking as if I'm weak, which I am. You know, my flesh is weak. The third way that I know that I show pride personally is when I don't follow directions. When I make up my mind that I'm going to do it my way versus the way that people who have gone before me suggest. Is again that prideful thinking that I know better than other people. Then it says in that, going back to that 1 Corinthians 13 verse, it says that love is not rude. And I think about sarcasm when I think about rudeness. And the world thinks sarcasm is clever, but God thinks that sarcasm is rude. You know, when I'm sarcastic about everything and quippish about things that are going on, that is a very rude way to be. It says also in that verse that it is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrong. I had underlined that. And I thought about the word forgiveness. And as a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. It's a requirement that I forgive. And because the Lord forgave me. And so I remember hearing this on the radio one time when they said that forgiveness is giving up the right to hurt someone who has hurt me. And I know that when I've been hurt, then I feel that I have a right to hurt someone. And that means that I can hurt them by not speaking to them, by ignoring them. But my way that I usually try to hurt people is to think mean things about them. You know, to sit there and just, whoa, let my mind just go crazy about, you know, the meanness that I can think in terms of my mind. And I cannot use my mind in that way. God gave me my mind to envision good that he has in store for my life and for me to use it to, you know, harbor some kind of evil is a very wrong thing. I must take away, you know, all records of wrong, give it to the Lord and allow him to take care of that. The next thing it says, love does not delight in evil. And that's one of the reasons that I have to be very, very careful about what I allow my eyes to see, on TV especially. I notice that there are a lot of shows on lately where people kind of go before the camera and they're having arguments with each other or telling each other off, you know, in front of the camera, or just a lot of things that they're not, they don't build up godliness. But they are designed to let evil or let wrong be entertaining. And so I cannot allow my mind and my life to be a part of that. That I just can't. That the Lord is calling me in a totally different direction. And then the last thing that I had underlined in the verse, it says that of love always hopes. And I'm always able to hope because of Jesus. He died to open up a way for me to be with him forever in heaven. And so that is a beautiful hope that regardless of all the things that could go wrong in a life, I can be grateful to know that my name is written in heaven, which gives me great, great peace. In John chapter 14, 1-3, Jesus speaking says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." And so I'm always grateful to know, that gives me hope to know that Jesus is coming back. In the reading that begins on page 215, it was nice to go and read this. I was sharing at this morning's meeting that I remember hearing an author one time say, she was saying to people, she said, "You really should buy this book." She had written this book. She said, "You really should buy this book. It's very, very helpful," she said. "In fact, it's helping me." And when I heard it, I chuckled. But since that time, I realized what she's talking about, because as the author of this particular devotional, when I go back and read things that I haven't read in a while, it is helping me. In this particular reading, especially, praying to become more loving was like an aha when I was preparing for these meetings, because I realized that these bullets that are listed on 215 and 216 are wonderful ways for me to do a 10th step. That they have been, what they did is that when I was writing, I took the verse, 1 Corinthians 13, and I expanded on each one of the parts. Like the first bullet, takes the word patient, where it says love is patient. And I thought about, what does patience mean? Well, it means that I don't run ahead of the Spirit. I have to wait for the Lord. And I have to wait for His perfect timing and also His perfect plan of action. And the Bible a lot of times says, stand firm. You know, stand firm. And so I have to be patient. That second bullet expands on the word of kindness. What does kindness mean? It means for me to show compassion, and show compassion to those people that God brings into my day, and not just the people that I like, but particularly the people that He brings into my life that I don't particularly care for, or they're rubbing me the wrong way. I shared also this morning that when I teach, sometimes I have students who are more interested in entertaining each other than in the lesson that I prepared. And my flesh gets very outdone with that. I can hear my flesh in the background. It goes, well, I don't care. You know, I don't care. I don't care. If they don't get it, it's their problem. They're not paying attention. And but I know that that's not being compassionate. Being compassionate is to pray for a way to speak to them that reaches their hearts, to help them to stop misbehaving, and if necessary, to punish their misbehavior so that they could stop. But I am not to ignore it, because that's not showing compassion. Is forgetting that they are children, and they, even though they might be adolescents, they're still children, and I'm an adult. And with God's help, I can help them to want to help themselves. That third bullet talks about envy and how it's important for me to enjoy the things that God has already given to me and to stop lusting after that which is not mine today. It doesn't mean that the Lord is not going to hear my prayer or answer my prayer. But if I'm praying for something really hard and he has not answered it today, then it probably means that I need to learn from the situation that I'm in today and to go on with my life. Fourth bullet is an expansion of boasting. What does it mean to boast? I boast when I forgive, when I fail to give God the glory, when I'm trying to take credit for the good things in my life. The Bible again says that every good and perfect gift is from God. So if there's something good happening in my life, I can no doubt trace it back to the Lord, Him working in my life. It talks about pride in the next bullet. I pray to bring the Lord into every decision that I make and every task that I do. Rudeness is that next to the last bullet. I pray to share God's revelation with gentleness and respect. I can be quite rude sometimes, you know, if I encounter an adamant unbeliever. But I have to keep in mind that I too was like that as well. And so the best way to win them over to the Lord is with gentleness and respect. That last bullet on page 215 reminds me of self-seeking. That when I set out to do something, then I need to ask the Lord to show me my true motives. If they're not godly, then I need to remember it's His will and not my will to be done. On the top of page 216, that first bullet is about anger. And to remember that behind most anger is fear. And I pray, again, to not let fear reign in my life. The second one is keeping a record of wrong. And when I make up my mind to keep a record of wrong, then I'm opening myself up to have hidden bitterness. And it's a horrible life to live bitterly. The thing about bitterness, though, is that everybody can see it, you know. And it's like a skunk, you know. They don't want to get near it. It's like, get away. You know, who wants to be around a bitter person? And so if I am saying that I'm going to live out the Great Commission and share the good news with people and I'm bitter, that's like shooting myself in the foot. Nobody's going to come around to hear anything I have to say if I have bitterness. And so I need to really ask the Lord to help me. This third bullet on page 216 is an expansion of what does it mean to delight in evil. And we live in a broken world, and so people who don't have the Holy Spirit living in them, they have not as of yet accepted Jesus as Lord, they're broken, and they do broken stuff. And for me to sensationalize it, to get some kind of pleasure out of seeing that brokenness is absolutely wrong. And so I have to guard my heart and my mind, and to know that God has not given me a redeemed life to sit and gape over the brokenness of another. What He wants me to do is to extend my hand to a person who is broken and to be part of the solution and to be creative to help them to find solutions today. The fifth bullet is about rejoicing in truth. And I have to learn more and more how to find my highest delight in God. Followed by the word protects. I pray to make the time to train the hands of others. That's the best way that I can help another person be protected, to direct them to the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, is active, and it will protect them from the evil one as they learn to hide the Word in their hearts. After protection comes trust. And my trust is blown out of the water when I get into doubt, diversion, discouragement, despair, and delay. So to work on keeping those in front of me. Hope. And again, I pray to remember that the war has already been won, that Jesus is coming back, and he's taking me home when he comes back. And the last one is, I pray to remember that Jesus cannot fail, it says in the end of that verse. Always perseveres, love never fails. And so, just keep on keeping on. That's the main thing. I'm going to